Let us pray. Lord God, as you continue to reveal yourself to us in this season of Epiphany, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you would open our eyes, our minds, our hearts, and our lives to your word. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Oh, hope everyone's still having a wonderful epiphany. We don't celebrate it like we should. It's that time of revelation, and if you look at all the scripture lessons, about the revelation of who Jesus is when he's baptized, and we'll hear, usually transfiguration, and we'll hear all of it. We'll never hear in the CEC, we will never hear about the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee.
No!
But he revealed himself there too. Go read it. But today, Jesus is sort of revealed as prophet. And I love prophets. I really do. I love the way that God spoke and continues to speak through people to whom he's given the gift of prophecy. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures is Hebrews 1:1. And I'm sorry, but when I was in seminary, I memorized things in Revised Standard Version, which was a much, much, much more enlightened and beautiful version than the current NIV. In many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old through the prophets. But now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. What a great way to start a book. I love the prophets. And in the Old Testament reading today, we heard about the call of Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now that's powerful. Not just about when he was in the womb. God knew him before he was in the womb. How awesome. Now, this past week or so, I have given almost constant thought in my waking hours and probably in my sleep too, to my own call. It started on the 25th with the ordination. Yeah, actually it started way before then. It started years before then. My own call, as I perceived it to ministry, wasn't like Jeremiah's. Certainly wasn't like Isaiah's. God didn't touch my mouth. And a seraph didn't come over with a coal and touch me on the mouth. It was not anything necessarily dramatic. It was more like the call of Samuel. Hearing my name called in the darkness. And I could spend a lot of time talking about that and give you the details of the story. But this sermon is not about me. I'm sure you're happy to hear that. And that's fine, because my call to ministry is not about me. My ordination was not about me. So a little over a week ago, I was ordained to the priesthood, and I became a priest. The title, priest. And I still feel weird when people say father. Yes, a five. Yeah. Yes, I am Father David. Or in the Father Dave, as you said. Yeah, I like that. Sorry, Father Dave's not here. Becoming the priest was part of the fulfillment of the call to serve God. But it was really just the beginning of a new phase. See, God didn't just say, here's your title, be priest. That would have been easier. And instead it's the call into the priesthood. And we were talking about this before the service. You know, when you're a teacher, you're called to teach, right? When you're a healer, you're called to heal. If you're a minister, you're called to minister. If you're a priest, you're called to do priestly stuff. There's not a word for it. There's not called to, now go do that priestly thing. But God's not so concerned about titles. Like I said, people aren't necessarily, I mean, people are called to be a minister, but they're called into ministry. We are all called into ministry. And this, in the last 9 days or so, I've thought a lot about the things that were prophesied over me when I was kneeling up here in front of Bishop Jones. Some of the prophecies were about me, but most of them, while they were prophesied over me and to me, were not about me. They were about the ministry into which I was being sent. And one of the prophecies we've been hearing continually here is that God is doing a new thing. New and improved. God is going to do a new thing. And while I'm blessed to be part of it, the new thing is not about me. Now, keeping this in mind, let's go to Nazareth in Galilee to our gospel reading, which joins a story already in progress. Did you all notice that?
Yes.
Story cut right in half. I mean, really. It begins by saying, He began by saying to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now imagine someone gave you this passage of scripture without anything else. This would lead to some serious questions. What scripture is fulfilled? In whose hearing? Who's Jesus talking to? I have no idea why the story was cut in half, and it's really hard, difficult to talk about without looking at the entire story. But one of the things I noticed this week I thought was very interesting is that when he said, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing, it's actually, in Greek, it's fulfilled in your ear. And so, all week long, Belinda and I have been ending our arguments with, in your ear. Oh yeah? Oh yeah? In your ear. I think that's why they wanted to throw him off the top of the hill. He was getting belligerent. No, it wasn't. In your ear. But this story is, of course, the familiar story of Jesus in his hometown. And I just like to highlight what came that was cut out of our story, so you'll know and be reminded of what they were talking about. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and set the oppressed free. To proclaim the year of the Lord. And then Jesus rolled up the scroll, handed it to the attendant, and sat down. And sitting is the position for teaching. He sat down, and so everybody's intently looking at him. He had just read a passage of scripture that everyone present knew was a prophecy about the coming Messiah. And he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus read the words that Isaiah had written 700 years before he was born. And he said, it's about me. This scripture, it's about me. Now, I've often wondered, you know, when you glance at, you know, read this story in all the different gospels, why did they get so mad? And then as I'm reading this, I'm even more amazed. That didn't make them mad. They weren't mad that he said, this is about me. They were okay with that. All right. You know, the local boys, the long-awaited Messiah, that's cool. They had heard things about what he had been doing in Capernaum and other places. And they were amazed at his teaching. And they thought well of him and think, wow, how nice. And if the story ended there, it would have been a feel-good, go-home story. But Jesus knew what they were thinking. And basically he said to them, you want me to do signs and wonders here, like I've done other places. You want me to perform those things here. You want this ministry to be about you. It's what you want. And then Jesus told them something that's sort of confusing at first. He tells them the story of Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. A great story. You probably remember that from Sunday school when you were a child. And he said, you know, there were many widows in Israel during that 3.5 year famine in that story. Widows everywhere in Israel. But Elijah didn't go to a single one of them. He was sent to the widow at Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And in the time of Elisha, there were many lepers in Israel, but none of them were healed. No, just the general of the Syrian army, Naaman. Not just a foreigner, an oppressive foreigner. Now the people in the synagogue listening to Jesus refer to these two stories, up until this point they've been really impressed with him, and now they are suddenly furious. What changed? What changed so much that they would actually want to kill him? Their temperament turned on these two familiar stories about beloved prophets. Why? Because the widow and the general were both Gentiles. What? You won't even do this. It's not for us, it's for out there. What a bunch of hooey. They said nicely. They wanted the ministry of Jesus to be about them, to be there in Nazareth, to do the things for them that they wanted, to be the Messiah that they expected, to be the Messiah they want. But it's not about them. It's larger than them. It's not about Israel. It's larger than Israel. Much further reaching. Now, some scholars have noted that this story, if you think about it, it's a microcosm of Jesus' ministry. That think about Jesus as in all of the Gospels. He He preaches, he performs signs and wonders, and everyone's amazed at his words. They're amazed at his authority. They're amazed at the signs and the things that he can do. But then he does things and says things they don't like, and they want to kill him. And that is a little microcosm of Jesus' ministry. Actually, it's also a microcosm of the church, especially the church in the book of Acts. Where people like, you know, Paul comes to town, yay, yay. And then, you know, before he leaves, they want to kill him. So when we look at this, are the people in the synagogue at Nazareth bad people? I don't think so. I think they're just like us. They're just like everybody else. They want to hear what is pleasing to their ears. We want expectations fulfilled. Because most people want it to be about them. I want it to be about me. Hey, think about the state of the church in America. Which churches are massive? They're generally the churches that are preaching to people what they want to hear. Sort of a proto-gospel. And you go there and you hear sermons that are helpful to you. I listen to them sometimes just for entertainment. But and when I want to really get mad, I listen to them. That sermons about parenting and how to be a good father, how to be a good mother, how to do this. All kinds of things that Jesus did not include in the gospel, but, you know, are kind of offshoots of that somewhere, maybe a subset 10 times removed. But they're telling people the kinds of things they want to hear. And that's especially true with the prosperity gospel. God loves you and wants you to be wealthy because you're his child. And sometimes people, you know, get that way with healing. Healing for me. That's pleasing to my ears. And people go out church shopping looking for those comforting words. Something that's not too challenging. I want a comfortable gospel. I want a God that's made in my image. I want a God that'll do the things I want. And that is a lot of the church in America. It needs to be about them. It needs to be for me right here. I don't want it to be about somebody in Zarephath or somebody from Syria. It needs to be about us here. Not for the widows, not for the generals. Well, think of the prophecies that we've heard in this place. It's in the last few years. We've heard a lot of things. We've heard a lot about revival. A lot about revival coming. We've heard that from God that we are to minister outside the walls here, and that God's going to do a new thing here. And Father Bill shared last week, he had a word from God when people were prophesying during the ordination, but he had a word that wasn't for me, it was for the church. That this is the beginning of, or an installment, of the things that are coming. I don't know what the other 11 are. I don't know what the new thing is. I don't know what the revival looks like. But I do know it's not about us. It's not about us. God's pouring out His Spirit on this place, not for us, but for Seraphath out there. Now, if we wanted to grow a really large church here, we could. All we have to do is do what other people are doing and follow the formula. Yeah, just start telling them what they want to hear. And people will come to listen to that.
Amen.
They will. Pack them in. Pack them in, and they'll go home happy and totally unchanged. And I dare say that the rest of their week would be quite difficult. But if we're going to fulfill our call in this place, then we're going to have to listen. We're going to have to listen to find out what it is that God is calling us to do. How does God want us to minister to Zarephath and Sidon and Syria? How does God want us to bring the healing power like He did to Naaman of Syria? And so this sermon, not about me, but it is sort of about us. We are being called as a congregation. And God is doing a new thing in our midst. And we've got to be ready. We've got to listen. And I hope and pray that you all are as excited about this as I am. And as Father Bill and as Father Chris. And as I hope everybody here is just so excited. I mean, to not know, it's like Christmas. What are we going to open? I don't know. But I bet you it's going to be about Jesus. And it's going to be about His kingdom. And it's going to be about His sheep. And I can hardly wait. And I pray that that we are all excited about all of the installments yet to come. Amen. Amen.